Amazing grace. That's a sermon in a nutshell if you happen to doze off. When Jesus is in our life, change happens. Amen? Amen. You're allowed to amen from behind a mask. We're looking at Amazing Grace, the newer version by Chris Tomlin, and we will be signing it a little later on. I think it has to be one of the most popular Christian songs, Amazing Grace. It tells the story of the turnaround that happens in our lives when we turn to Christ. We sing the newer version, which takes a couple of verses from the well-known classic, Amazing Grace. Can we have the first picture, if possible? Gordon, can you strike it up? That's what we're looking at. Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. The original Amazing Grace was written by this gorgeously good-looking chap here. This is John Newton, as many of you know. John Newton was a hymn writer and an Anglican clergyman, but before he was that, he was the captain of a slave ship. The self-proclaimed wretch who once was lost, but then was found, saved by amazing grace. He met with Jesus in the midst of a storm and had what can only be described as a supernatural vision. And from that point, his life changed. He eventually gave up being a slave captain. It didn't happen immediately. And he became a clergyman, eventually becoming the minister of a church in London where William Wilberforce was a member of the congregation. And he played his part in abolishing slavery. His life was changed because his chains were gone. He looked back on his life and he said this: I am not the man I ought to be. I am not the man I wish to be. And I am not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the man I used to be. And I think many of us can say the same, that because of amazing grace and the difference in our lives because of Jesus, we are not the people that we used to be. Who agrees with me? Thank you. The dictionary describes grace as the divine favor towards man, towards humanity, the undeserved kindness or forgiveness of God, divine love or pardon. Grace is often defined as what God does for us, his favor, or in everyday terminology, God giving us something good that we don't deserve. Often in prayer, we talk about, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. They kind of go together, but grace is different from mercy. Mercy is God not giving us something bad that we do deserve. Grace is a free gift that is completely undeserved, that comes because of who God is, his richness, his favor. And it's nothing on our part. Let's look at some scripture. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. They were doing all right. There wasn't much controversy to deal with, not like some New Testament epistles. The Ephesians were solid Christians who had their hearts and their lives in the right place. They were devoted to Jesus. They saw their future was rosy. But it didn't mean that there were some things that they still had to learn. And Paul wrote this letter to strengthen their faith and to remind them about grace. He taught them that nothing they could do would mean that God would love them less. Amazing grace means that God deals with his people not on the basis of what we deserve, but because of his character, his love, his generosity, his heart. And that is, I think, a freeing truth. In the song, we sing these words: my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, apologize for the American spelling, has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. There are lots of things that chain us. There are lots of things that we need freedom from. But the most important chain that Jesus breaks is that over sin. All the things we do wrong. All the times we put ourselves first and not God. All the times we have not followed him. I have a long list. Maybe you do too. But Jesus' arms are nailed to the cross and takes my list and takes your list and the weight of the world's wrongs and says, I will carry this. I will break the power of this that chains you to your past. The sin, the power of sin that holds you captive. And Jesus says, because I do that, you don't need to worry about what your past has looked like. You don't need to worry about what your present looks like. Nothing is too dirty or too dark or too depressed or too disabled or too dastardly for me to deal with. It is sorted, says Jesus. It is finished, he says, with his arms wide open on the cross. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, says, grace means that there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. Let that sink in. There is nothing, diddly squat, you can do to make God love you more, because he loves you to the top already, and there is nothing you can do that will make God love you less. And I find that mind-blowing. But I think we often forget that. And this is what Amazing Grace is about. Paul says this to Timothy. Here's a trustworthy saying that demands full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says he is the worst. In our family, we have a little saying, it's not a competition. And maybe if I met Paul, I would say that to Paul. It's not a competition, Paul. But the point is that even when we're ratbags, even when we have been left to our own devices, God says, I'm not going to leave you in the mess that you have created for yourself, because I love you too much for that. Amazing Grace looks like a father searching his child. And that's grace. It's extravagant. There is no loophole in the promise that says you are loved, you are forgiven, your sins have been dealt with. Grace changes everything. It is all that we need. We don't get what we deserve. We don't earn it, but God gives it anyway. Wow. The New Living Translation of this verse from Ephesians says this: God saved you by his special favor when you believed. You can't take the credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things, for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpieces. You do look very masterpieceful as I look at you. But that isn't that contrary to how the world thinks? Normally, in our world, everything is predicted on our performance. We're taught right from the youngest age that we have to work hard. If you want something, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. If you want a good GCSE result or an A-level result, you have to work. You have to revise. You have to study. I remember vividly as a teenager being astonished that there was a link between revising and studying and good grades. Blew my mind when I worked out that actually if I worked, I got better grades. Who knew? Our life in our world tells us that the more you work, the more you are rewarded for it. But grace takes that worldly value and turns it upside down. It is countercultural and topsy-turvy, and it's God's kingdom way of thinking. Sometimes we approach God thinking that we have to earn his love, that we have to work for his approval, that we have to do good stuff in order for him to like us more, by coming to church, by giving to charity, by being nice people. And I think often that's what other people think outside of church too. Often when I'm doing funeral visits for those folk who don't come to church but want a Christian minister because that's what you're meant to do, and we have that conversation about, well, they were a good person, but they didn't believe in Jesus. God's amazing grace does not work to the rules of the world. God comes along and says, you can stop trying. You can stop trying. I have won salvation and freedom for you. You don't have to earn it. It is my gift. In Romans 5, it says that when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. That is grace. That when we least deserved it, when we were far away from God, like the story of the lost son, we're made right with God. Although it's a free gift to us, it does not come without cost to God. And the cost was the cross and Jesus giving up his life so that we could live in freedom. Therefore, I think grace is scandalous. It's outrageous. And it's the best thing. That's why we say it's amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains have gone, have been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. If you don't know that amazing grace for yourself, then you need to find out more. Of a God who loves you so much that your past is dealt with, that your present is with his presence, and that your future is secure beside him. If you do not know that yourself, then there is an opportunity to find out more. If you need to know afresh that God's grace is for you, then I invite you to find out more. And I invite all of us who live under this amazing grace to thank God afresh today for what that means for us. Grace is not cheap. It cost Jesus everything. But God gives it an ending for us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the cost that made sure that we could be loved by you. We praise you for Jesus, who took on the price and the burden of the world's sins to reconcile us to you. We praise you for your forgiveness and for the opportunity for repentance. We praise you that you meet us where we're at and that you lead us home. We praise you for Jesus. Amen.